The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
That game last night at Wrigley Field, for those of you who said, I can't do it. I got to go to bed. I got work to do. I got to get up. It did end. I just wanted to let you know, it did end. It didn't feel like it was ever going to end. My God. Just inning after inning after inning. But it did actually come to an end, and the Rockies won. The Cubs, who had two games, to win the division so they could avoid this one-game nightmare, managed just one run against the Brewers. And then they got into this one-game nightmare at home again, where they faced a Colorado Rockies team who's been living in an airplane for the last 3 days, and they get one run again in 13 innings. Joe Maddon, you can't buy an offense. If you get three runs in this game, you're advancing to the NLDS. Instead, the Rockies are. They're going to Milwaukee. The Rockies are continuing like this North American tour. Like, they should have t-shirts of all the places that they've been on the back of their jersey. You know, just, you know, Los Angeles, Colorado, Chicago, Milwaukee, and all the places in between. That's what the Rockies are doing. They're on the road. I thought the Rockies were going to lose this game just based on pure exhaustion of travel, even though they take a chartered plane. But no. Kyle Freeland goes out there, and he throws gas, baby. And he shuts down the Cubs, which doesn't seem to be that difficult since Milwaukee was able to do it before. But they get 13 innings in this game. It goes on forever. Finally, Tony Walters, who's batting like .110, he gets a base hit that scores Trevor Story in the 13th inning. And the Cubs go, okay, here's our chance to respond at home. We won the World Series 2 years ago. Our crowd's behind us. We're going to rally. We're going to get to the bottom of the 13th. We're going to get some runs. Finally get some runs. And what do they do? One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two. Like Bugs Bunny in that cartoon. Scott Oberg mowing down Cubbies. All right, what does this all mean? Baseball. We're going to talk some baseball because it's October and it's playoff time. Rockies in Milwaukee, Dodgers in Atlanta, the American League's fun. It's all coming up next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The pitch.
Base hit into center field by Tony Walters. Home comes Story. Par to third. The Rockies have regained the lead. 2-1 in the top of the 13th. Tony Walters with the biggest hit of his career. The Rockies have the lead.
Oberg calmly looks in, gets his sign from Tony Walters. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Scott Oberg strikes out the side. The Rockies are moving on.
Rockies Radio Network with the call last night's NL wild card matchup. Tony Walters, I love that. I think it was Jack Corrigan who was the play-by-play announcer for the Rockies. I think he loved when he says, Tony Walters with the biggest hit of his career. In case you were trying to judge that against other big playoff hits that Tony Walters has had in his lifetime. Just in case you were wondering, like, well, where does this rank on the large list of Tony Walters hits that he's had in the postseason? Of course, it's the biggest hit of his career. He drove in the go-ahead run in a wild card game. By the way, the Cubs won 95 games and had to play one more game just to see if they could participate in the postseason fun. I love the one game wild card. I'm not a big fan of the 163, especially if you don't have to do it. But I like the one game wild card. But last night, 13 innings, everybody has to play. They made a double switch. The Rockies made a double switch last night, taking out their best hitter, Charlie Blackmon. And that's National League strategy, baby. That's National League strategy. Joe Maddon wish he had some strategy trying to get any run across the plate. Did you see the weird play with Nolan Arenado hugging Javi Baez when he was coming down the second base, down to third? Why? So there's a ground ball. Nolan Arenado picks it up and he goes to second for the out. No, he goes to tag Javier Baez, who's coming in. And Javier Baez just reaches his arms around and they hug. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, come on. Like, that's got to be some sort of level of interference. And they just two guys like, what are you going to do? Right? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? So the Rockies go on to beat the Chicago Cubs.
I have Tony Walters' playoff stats, if you would like to know.
Give us the playoff statistics.
His career playoff stats. One at bat, one hit, one RBI.
So in case you were judging that hit against a July game against the Diamondbacks. God. Tony Walters with his biggest hit of his career. Yeah, no, exactly.
It's all downhill for Tony now.
He was batting like 190 or something.
170 career average. Yeah. 2018's average was 170.
Isn't it always the case though? Where there's always
it's always a no-name guy,
like some guy no one knows who's batting a batting average that's pretty infantile and comes through with a big base hit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If the Rockies don't work out for him, Athletics.
Yeah, exactly. He could join the Athletics and we wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, tonight the Yankees are taking on the Oakland A's. And Ron and I have had good fun making sure that, you know that we know that you know that we know that we don't know anybody on the Oakland A's. Tonight's game.
Except for Chris Davis.
Except for Chris Davis. We know him.
Chris Davis watch.
We know who Chris Davis is. That's for sure.
And he's not the Chris Davis that used to play with the Orioles.
No. He's a
completely different guy.
Here's the deal with Chris Davis. He hit 48 home runs this season. He had more wins than the Baltimore. He had more home runs than the Baltimore Orioles had wins. That was our bit throughout the regular season. But it's like the Athletics knew that guys like us were making this comment, and the Athletics as an organization said, "Oh yeah, you don't know who we are? Okay, we're playing everybody on the roster." Here's how tonight's pitching matchup is going to work. The Yankees are going with Luis Severino. The Athletics are going with some guy named Hendricks, some reliever. But he is only going to pitch one or two innings because the A's as an organization have decided that their best way of beating the Yankees is doing what they call kind of a using an opener and then throwing everybody out. Like, they're going to have a different pitcher almost every inning. A guy might get an inning, maybe two innings, but they're going to throw out a whole bunch of pitchers who are going to pitch very briefly in this game against the Yankees. Luis Severino is going to go, I don't know, tries to go six or seven innings to get the Yankees, you know, a cushion, but the A's are going to pitch everybody on their roster. So if you're like us and you don't know anybody on the A's except for Chris Davis, you're going to get to know all of the A's tonight because Bob Melvin is going to play every single person he can just to spite you and the fact that you don't know his team. Why go with a pitcher that will go seven innings when we can use all our pitchers in one? That's the A's strategy tonight. I bet it works, too. I bet it works. I bet the Yankees just start swinging at everything, just like the Cubs last night in the bottom of the 13th. I've never seen a team swing at so many more bad pitches than the Cubs did in the bottom of the 13th inning. Scott Oberg was like, here, chase it. Goodbye. Here, try to hit this. Good night. Struck out the side. He threw a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, too. But nevertheless, he got all of them to strike out in the bottom of the 13th inning, and the Rockies go on to advance to play Milwaukee in the NLDS. The Cubs, that's disappointing. Again, and I said this at the top of the show, they had two games to get out of this conundrum. They had two games. If they beat Milwaukee, they win the division, they advance to the NLDS regardless. If they beat the Rockies, they advance to the NLDS, it cost them an extra game. In both of those games, at home at Wrigley Field, they managed one run in each game. One run in each game. That's inexcusable. Not for that team. That team and how loaded they are, that's inexcusable to come up that short. Two opportunities to just get out of the pressurized situation of a one-game headache. Beat Milwaukee, you win the division. Beat the Rockies, you just go on to the divisional series. But no, their offense stalls. Now, as far as the Rockies go, here's the thing about the Rockies, and you got to be really careful with them. Milwaukee's the hottest team in baseball. They have the home field advantage in this series in a best of five. But Colorado, if they sneak a game at Miller Park in either game one or two, well, maybe their bats come alive a little bit, or maybe they get another great pitching performance. Who knows? If they split this game against Milwaukee, this series, the first two games, they're gonna win this series. When they go back to Colorado, they are going to be extremely confident in their own park. They have one of those home field, you know, altitude advantages or whatnot. They hit the ball like no one's business at Coors Field. And when they start hitting as a team, they will put up crooked numbers and innings all over the place. They've done it all year. Coors Field is magic to them. It's a different kind of park. The altitude in Denver allows the park to be a little bigger because they had to adjust it. Because if they made it like Yankee Stadium with like a short right field porch, there'd be 500 home runs hit there every year. So they make they expand the ballpark a little bit, but that includes you know, increased outfield. Some teams have a hard time playing there, and the pitching thing used to be a big problem. The humidor has kind of affected it a little bit. The runs aren't as, you know, big. When I first started going to Rockies games in the early part of 2000s, it was very common to get like a 14-12 game. 4 hours, 4.5 hours. That's when the Rockies were terrible. The humidor has calmed that down a little bit. So now you're getting games that are like, you know, 5-2, 6-3, that kind of thing. Every now and then you get a 11-9 kind of game because it's still altitude baseball. But this is a collection of, this is a team that has found a great combination of guys who can hit and hit the long ball and pitchers who can pitch there. That's not always been the case. They're a dangerous club. They are a really dangerous club. And they're dangerous in Denver. This is going to be a really interesting series with Milwaukee because Milwaukee is red hot. And they got the MVP candidate and the MVP winner, I should say, and Christian Yelich. He'll win it. But the Rockies can hit in that lineup. They can hit home runs up and down. David Dahl's been hitting home runs. They can get home runs from Nolan Arenado, of course. Trevor Story's hitting home runs. And Desmond can do it. Charlie Blackmon can do it. I mean, they've got a lineup that will just hit the heck out of that thing. especially in Colorado. So don't sleep on the Rockies. I mean, they may be on the traveling road show is going on for Colorado right now because they're basically living out of a suitcase. But when they get home to Denver, they will rock Milwaukee. I think they'll win that series if they can get a split at Miller Park. If they can't, I don't think they win. But if they can get a split, I think they win that series and go on to the NLCS against either the Dodgers or the Atlanta Braves.
It'll probably be the Dodgers.
Man, probably will be the Dodgers.
A rematch.
Yep. Probably be a nice little NL West battle. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Your thoughts on last night's game. If you watched it, we'll get into some more NFL as we approach week 5, week 6 of the college football season as well. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hello, you know us. We're a Major League Baseball team.
But since we haven't won a pennant in over 30 years, nobody recognizes us. Not even in our own hometown.
That's why we carry the American Express card.
No matter how far out of first we are, it's cool. You know, it keeps us from getting shut out at our favorite hotels and restaurant-type places.
So if you're looking for some big league clout, apply for that little green home run heater.
Look what it's done for us. People still don't recognize us, but...
we're contenders now.
The American Express card.
Don't steal home without it.
Ah, yes, our Oakland A's. Well, actually, that was the Cleveland Indians from Major League. What a nice find, Ron Culver. It's a brilliant piece of audio there.
It's very similar. They're similar storylines. I mean, one is made in Hollywood. The other one's made in Northern California.
I can't wait for tonight's game when they start giving us interesting facts on the A's, like shortstop. And we're like, wow, he enjoys going on moonlit walks. Who knew?
They better go full Little League on it, though.
I know, completely. His favorite band is Def Leppard? Who would have thought? His favorite class is math. Wow. That's great.
His favorite player is Bryce Harper. That seems kind of odd.
Seems kind of odd. It's fantastic.
One of them is going to be Aaron Judge. Who's your favorite player? Aaron Judge.
Oh. Aaron Judge.
That's kind of a conflict of interest.
Running out, getting his autograph before his at bat. Can't wait for tonight's game. It's going to be nerve-wracking, though. One out of every four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So Luis Severino going up against everyone on the A's.
Bob Melvin, from what I understand, he's going to treat it like an all-star game.
That's basically it. Everyone's getting like an inning.
And he's Oprah.
Yeah. This guy's name's Liam Hendricks. Is going to get the start tonight, but he's only don't fall in love with Liam Hendricks because you're only going to see him for about 10 minutes and then you can bring in somebody else. You get an inning and you get an inning and you get an inning and you get an inning. This is going to throw the Yankees off completely, though. This is going to drive the Yankees crazy.
It's kind of
the A's will probably
it's kind of I think it's kind of similar to coaches withholding who they're going to start at quarterback.
Yeah, very true.
Until the very last second, like, last okay, we're going to throw him.
Yeah. So, that's Liam Hendricks.
I can't wait, though. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It could be interesting tonight. It could be really interesting. Because let me tell you something. Yankee fans, I remember last year, because I was living in New Jersey, and Yankee fans were really nervous when they were playing the Twins. And they had Luis Severino on the mound for that game, too. Because the Yankees can really let you down. I mean, they're a team that, oh, God, they can hit home runs. That lineup will tear you apart. But they have a contagious nature in their lineup. When a couple of guys are struggling, they all struggle, right? I mean, it's just one of those infectious things that happens with that club where they need somebody to break them out of a slump and nobody will step up and do it. and then they have a hard time. And that can drive you crazy as a fan base. But then there are other times where for 5-6 innings, they look like garbage and they can't get a hit. And then next thing you know, they're putting up 7 runs in the 7th inning and they're plowing away. They're just moving away. So this could be interesting tonight. I think this is a good strategy on Bob Melvin's part. I think it does a couple of things for him. One, this pitching rotation. The problem that you have with this is this. Okay, let me get to the problem first and then I'll get to why it's actually could be a good strategy for Oakland. One of the problems that you have when doing this is when you go into this sort of this opener mentality where or strategy where you're going to start a guy and he's going to pitch an inning or two, then you're going to bring another guy, he'll pitch an inning, and then everybody gets an inning. He's going to use up to 10 pitchers in this game tonight. The problem is, and you saw this last night, in games that go extra innings in these must-win situations, the problem is you are counting on every single person who is going to the mound to have their A game, to have their good stuff. And that is a lot to ask. If Luis Severino is on tonight for the Yankees, he'll mow down the Athletics. If he is sharp, he'll mow them down, and he'll do that for 6 or 7 strong innings. And that gives you a very small window to break out of that. Meanwhile, if you're the A's and you bring out a guy and he doesn't have his stuff, the Yankees can do some damage because it just takes one swing or two swings. Now, granted, you're going to bring in somebody else. So you're taking another chance that, well, that guy's outing isn't going to last forever. It's, you know, we bring him in for an inning. He doesn't have good stuff. It doesn't matter. We were bringing in somebody else anyway. So it's not like it's throwing our rotation for the postseason completely out of whack. One of the reasons we're doing this is because we don't have much of a rotation, and we're going to try to preserve it as much as we can if we get out of this one game thing. So if you're Oakland's Bob Melvin, it's a pretty good strategy because it can throw the Yankees off. You keep throwing different arms and the different ways guys pitch and the different styles of the way the guys pitch. It could be a long night for the Yankees. But if two guys don't have it or one guy doesn't have it, the Yankees can kill you. And that's going to be a problem tonight. I remember the Rockies did this in 2007. They were playing the Padres in a one-game playoff. And and Clint Hurdle, who's the manager of the Rockies, kept bringing in pitcher after pitcher after pitcher, and I remember thinking one of these guys is gonna not have gas. One of these guys is not gonna have it, and I was really nervous. But they all did, and they ended up winning that game. But that's gonna be the strategy tonight for the Oakland A's, and then we'll if they beat the Yankees, then we'll really get to know them. Hendricks pitched in like AAA Nashville this year, and came up to the majors. Like he was pitching. Hendricks, who's pitching tonight for Oakland, tonight for Oakland.
Okay,
he pitched in Nashville tonight, and then returned to the. He's getting a start in a playoff game after spending some time in AAA this year. What a gutsy move by Bobby Melvin.
It'll be the biggest pitching performance in his career.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be exactly right. He'll pitch like he'll go 1-2-3 in the first inning, and the announcer will say that the best inning he's ever pitched in his life.
And the A's just yanked him.
Yeah.
Went to the lefty.
Goodness gracious. This is tonight's baseball game. Wow.
I mean, there's so many expectations. I can't stand the Yankees. Sorry, Yankee fan out there. I'm not a big Yankee fan. Never have been. Never liked the way that, you know, they just go out and just buy players, even though my Dodgers are doing the same thing. But
I was going to say, you root for the Dodgers.
They're doing it differently, Tony.
How are they doing it differently? Is their money a different color?
Yes, it's blue.
Are they using? Yeah, exactly. Are they using some sort of different currency?
Yeah, they're using Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're using Bitcoin.
So it's not real. They just don't go about it the right way. I mean, what we've been saying about the Yankees all season long is that they need pitching. They need pitching. They keep going after one bat after another.
Well, they went out and did. I mean, they got J.A. Happ, and they went out and, you know, they got a few pitchers.
They should be throwing him
out
there
them.
Tonight.
Yeah, J.A. Happ has worked out for them since they got him. Yeah. He's pitched very, very well.
Severino's going to blow it up.
Severino's going to be good. I think Severino's going to be fine.
Nah, he's going to tank. He can't handle the pressure.
You know, but no, Severino pitched well last year in the playoffs. I think he'll be fine tonight.
Fake news.
I don't know.
But it's just,
I understand. Listen, I understand the Yankee hatred. I get it because it. Look, they've had success. I think the problem though is that here's the thing with the Yankees. Okay, In the 1996 team, okay, here's let me give you a quick thing about the Yankees. People look at the Yankees and they think, oh, they've had all this success. The Yankees went from 1978 winning the World Series to not winning another World Series again until 1996. That was a span of over close to 20 years that they didn't win anything. So the Yankees don't always win everything. And in that period of time, they bought players that didn't work out. And they went and traded players that didn't work out. But the 96 team, while it had guys like Jimmy Key on it and you know, expiring Wade Boggs and whatnot, was a lot of homegrown talent, a lot of guys that they brought up in their own system. You know, a guy like Andy Pettit, a guy like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. John Wetland did come from somewhere else, and he was their closer that year.
Jorge Posada.
But they,
those are the big four.
Joe Girardi was the catcher at the time. But these are guys that were kind of brought up through the system. The Yankees then went out, no doubt, they went out and they got Tino Martinez and they got Roger Clemens and they went out and got some players, but Bernie Williams came up through the system, right? Derek Jeter came up through the system. So the Yankees were building their farm system up pretty well, and that was the basis for their success in the 90s. No doubt going out and getting Roger Clemens certainly helped, and they did go out and spend on a lot of players. So your point is very accurate. That 96 young gun was the core, but they added a lot of extras on top that came with big, huge contracts. So your point is well taken. But the start of that dynasty came from a team that really grew it over the 20 years they didn't win anything.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, I didn't want to do this story. I really didn't. You know what I said, Ron? I said, I can't do another Ryder Cup story. I had my fun with the United States Ryder Cup. I went on a rant on Monday about this team losing. Then I talked a little bit about Patrick Reed yesterday. I said, okay, it's time to put the Ryder Cup to bed. But I can't. There's more news coming out of Paris.
When they keep giving you nuggets, you gotta run with it.
You gotta go with it. So there is a new story that Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson got in a fight outside the team room, the European team room. I don't know what they were doing over there.
They took the secret tunnel.
Yeah, I guess they were taking the secret tunnel, but apparently they got in a near fight and had to be pulled away from each other. What are two golfers doing fighting at the Ryder Cup? Well, what could they possibly be fighting about?
And aren't these two BFFs?
I thought so. I thought they were tight. They both work out. I think they work out with the same performance center in Florida. So they work out together with this certain golf trainer that's like, you know, hey, come to my program and you'll hit the ball further like DJ and Brooks Koepka. And apparently there was something said or something happened and they got into a fight.
We need more details.
I want more details on this.
Because if this is true and everything that's been going on, and Patrick Reed, I mean, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's lying. We don't know anymore. We need a reality show based on the, you know, maybe it's like Real Housewives of Ryder Cup.
Yeah. And
just follow them around. Why wasn't Hard Knocks in following the Ryder Cup?
Oh, no kidding. No, we've got a bratty golfer in Patrick Reed whining that he didn't get any playing time or get to play with the guys he wanted to.
But begged to play with Tiger.
Begged to play with Tiger, played with Tiger, and then said, no, I didn't really want to play with Tiger. I wanted to play with Jordan, but Jordan didn't want to play with me.
So I took my ball and went home.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You ever notice when people say, and I don't want to make a huge generalization because I know there are people who really don't care what people think about them, but everybody who makes a big deal of, I don't care what people think about me, actually do care what people think about them.
Yep.
I mean, it seems to be like it's just a shield for your insecurities. I think Patrick Reed, he's a golf villain because he says things and he alienates people. I think he was real. His feelings were hurt that Jordan Spieth didn't want to play golf with him. And I think he was really bothered by it. Because if he wasn't bothered by it, he wouldn't have cared. He got to play with Tiger Woods for crying out loud at the Ryder Cup. How great is that? Even though they lost. But at least they had an opportunity. He played with Tiger Woods. But instead, he goes to the press and he whines that he didn't get to play with Jordan Spieth because Jordan Spieth didn't want to play with me. And then claims, I don't really care what people think. Well, I kind of think your feelings are hurt. But I really want
to
know
what people think. Why are you talking to us?
Yeah, why are you talking to us? What do you care? If you don't care what Jordan Spieth wanted to play with somebody, what do you care? How in the world did Dustin Johnson get in a fight with Brooks Koepka? I mean, my God. Brooks, I don't even know. Like, Dustin Johnson doesn't look like he gets excited about anything, right? He's just laid back. You asked Dustin Johnson, what did you think of the Ryder Cup loss?
Well, it's kind of tough that we lost, but I got to play some golf, and the course was nice, and Paris is pretty, and got to come back and relax before the start of the season.
That's Dustin Johnson. Well, as laid back as you're going to get. How did he get fired up over with Brooks Koepka? What was Brooks Koepka bragging about his two majors this year? And Dustin was like,
"Well, reading,
I got a U.S. Open."
According to a French language report, which I have no, I guess that's a French news site.
All right, we're getting the details.
They were at odds with each other on the plane to Paris.
Oh my God! All right, like they couldn't even get to the Ryder Cup on good notes.
So did one of them, you know, get the good meal and the other one only got peanuts?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was for me. No, I'm eating it.
Surprised Jim Furyk didn't go, "You two hate each other? Great, I'll pair you up. Why not put you guys together? You guys are
work out your
plane.
Difference like a teacher."
God.
Like, no, you guys need to shake hands before you guys can go outside and play.
You know what? I hate to say this because I always root for the U.S. in the Ryder Cup, and I love the Ryder Cup. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And I get, you know, the Europeans, they get really arrogant about how much they love it and how much they're all unified and we're just a mess. But they're right. They're right. We rarely win this thing. And when we do, it's every now and then at home when things are kind of going right. But the Europeans are right. We are 12 individual golfers and we just can't become a team. And there's always going to be, I need this. And these guys surround themselves with mental coaches, golf swing coaches, other kind of coaches, their agent, and they surround themselves in this bubble. And then when they're told, break that bubble off and do something different, they go, "Oh, I can't. I can't." I mean, Phil Mickelson one time at a Ryder Cup, I can't remember what year, it was when the United States had it, you know, in one of the even years or whatever. Phil Mickelson practiced at another golf course by himself for the Ryder Cup. Like, the Europeans would never have done something like that. Never in 1,000 years. And yet the U.S., that's what they do. It's just a bunch of selfish guys. Now they're getting in fights and arguments and spats. You know what? I give it to the Europeans. When they got their butts handed to them at Hazeltine last year, they all went back to Europe and said, okay, we can live with this. Let's go do something else. Let's figure out how we can be better for Paris in 2 years. But the United States, we would lose the Ryder Cup, and all of a sudden, oh, we got into fist fights and arguments on planes, and we're telling reporters stories that may or may not be true, and we're throwing people under the bus, and ugh.
All right, well, here's golf.
Any more details?
No, golfmagic.com came out with five possible reasons that this little
Koepka Johnson melee almost occurred.
Yeah.
Okay.
One was because of the heavy Ryder Cup defeat, because they flat out sucked with each other.
Yeah, they did.
The second one was that DJ said he could lift more.
Oh, yeah. Well, Brooks Koepka lifts every single day, so I can see why he could be very offended by that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe that, you know,
maybe that got under his skin.
Exactly. Another one could be that because Dustin is, you know, ranked number one in the world, and he has two U.S. Opens to Koepka's one.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be true. No, Koepka's
no,
got two
Koepka's
U.S.
Got
Opens.
Two and
to Johnson's
one. That's right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
but
Justin
but
took
Dustin's
offense
ranked
to that.
Number one.
Yeah, that's right. He's number one, and Koepka's got three majors under his belt.
Another one. Okay. And here's another twist of this saga that makes it so much fun, that Bruce Koepka almost murdered a lady.
That's true. He actually, according to one story, blinded her with the ball. He hit a shot.
Her eye socket, her eyeball exploded.
That's what the story is. Brooks Koepka hit a drive, and the ball hit a woman in the eyeball, and the eyeball exploded like this. Four! Bounce, bounce.
No, it didn't even bounce. It bounced off her face.
Yeah. I thought it bounced before and it hit her.
No,
came right in?
The way it looked like, it went right into the gallery because the ball pretty much bounced almost back to the green.
Oh, God. Okay. I thought it had bounced.
It hit her.
I thought it bounced and then came in to the crowd. Like it bounced and then took a wayward spin into the crowd.
And in this scenario, I kind of believe, because maybe Dustin Johnson, you know, just being the laid-back guy he was, is like, you know, man, you really had an eye for that shot.
Oh, da-da-dun. I saw an article in Sports Illustrated today that talked about the legal ramifications of this. What I'm thinking, legal? What do you mean legal ramifications? I mean, what could she sue Brooks Koepka? She can't sue Brooks Koepka for this.
But apparently she could sue the organizers.
The course?
Yeah. Even though on the ticket, you know, it's a waiver clause, like, hey, you're there on your own. Good luck. But apparently, one of the things that she somehow, some way could possibly sue about was that none of the officials who were there let them know that a ball was coming straight at them.
Mm. Wouldn't we have to know, and the people, I didn't read the article because I was like, that's too above my intelligence grade for me. Wouldn't we have to know about French law and French liability?
Probably.
How the French deal with that kind of stuff, right? Like, I get it. In the United States.
Isn't it straight to the guillotine?
I think so. I think they still use that.
You just do that, right?
No, in the United States, believe me, if your eyeball exploded at a golf tournament on like the Travelers Championship, oh yes, you'd sue Travelers, you'd sue the golfer, the marshal, people standing around you. You'd probably sue the people who gave out the big fat check, even though they didn't have anything to do with it. You'd rope everybody into your lawsuit if it was in the United States. But in Paris, they might go, nah, you don't have a case. Good night.
No, but a defense lawyer, all he has to say is, man, you should have kept your eye on the ball, lady.
Oh, yeah, keep your eye. Nice. Yeah, because I always thought when you bought the ticket, it always said, hey, listen, if you get hurt, you know, hey, it's on you. Like this, like you go to a baseball game and a foul ball hits you in the noggin, that's part of the price of the ticket. It says on the back of the ticket.
Yep.
That's the deal.
Be aware of flying objects.
Yeah. Because I think there was
balls, bats, gloves.
There was even a case where like a fan got drunk and fell over a banister. And I think that they couldn't sue, the family couldn't even sue then, saying, hey, I'm sorry. This is what, when you go to a sporting event, this is what you give up.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
When you get drunk, you could get
drunk
over.
And fall over a banister. You could get drunk and not pay attention to the foul ball that's being hit your way.
Or like the one guy at the football game where he went when the, it was for a punt or something like that. Or no, maybe it was a baseball game and he reached out for the ball. It was a home run ball, and he fell into the bullpen.
Yeah.
And died.
That's right. It was in Arlington, Texas.
Yep.
Yeah,
not Arlington's fault.
No, not Arlington's fault at all.
You don't have to reach for that ball.
Like
sometimes
the Malice,
you just got to let it go.
Remember the Malice in the Palace back in 2004 in the NBA?
Yeah.
And you know, remember Ron Artest and everybody was starting to fight, and they had those two guys get on the court, and they were getting like, they got a little silly, and they got on the court, and they almost got hit. And then luckily, one of them slipped on some water or something and like totally missed a punch by an NBA player that would probably have killed him. But no, I mean, you can't.
That's, and those guys got sued. Happen.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, exactly. You can't. You got to be careful. See, let's just go to a sporting event and you got to be careful. I feel bad for her, though. Can you imagine going to the Ryder Cup and then losing your vision?
You're just looking for a good time.
Back. Just want to be hanging out, have fun.
And all of a sudden, a ball just hits you in the eye. I wonder what a exploded eyeball.
I know
what sounded like. I mean, not to get gross, but I mean, you just think about it, it's like it just go pop, and just how do you know if it exploded? Are people like, oh, look, you know, there's the lens, there's the cornea.
Yeah, just laying there on the ground.
Now she's got to go through the rest of her life looking like a pirate.
Did Brooks Koepka walk up to her and sign like a glove and then go, I'm giving you a glove that's autographed? And somebody said, she's blind, not deaf. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. Here, just give this to her. And walked away. Phil Mickelson does that. Like, Phil, if you get hit by a Phil Mickelson ball, which is very common because he hardly ever hits the fairway, he gives you balls and gloves and whatever's in his bag. Now, that's what Mickelson does.
Next time, if that ever happened to me, I'll just say, I just want a ride on your plane.
Oh, I know.
Just take me somewhere.
Give me on the G5. Sweet.
Let's just drop, you know, everything and go to a golf course in London.
Oh, God. What a life.
But of course, the final thing they said that could have possibly started this fight between the two is Paulina. Because, you know, Dustin and Paulie. That's what I'm saying. Man, their Hard Knocks should have been there. So much drama going on. Although, and Tiger wasn't a part of any of it, which is kind of disappointing.
Brooks Koepka's girlfriend's pretty cute.
Yeah.
I saw her at the PGA this year.
So maybe it was them. Maybe those two weren't getting along. You know?
Maybe because the wives and girlfriends hang out. Maybe there was a fight between them that led to a fight between them. Does that make sense?
All the time. You know, it could have been something so simple, and they're like, you know, you need to stick up for me.
That's right. That's right. Now, Brooks Koepka's girlfriend, I don't remember her name, but I mean, couldn't Paulina say to Dustin, she said something nasty about me, and then he's like, oh, God, I want you to talk to Brooks about that. Oh, no, I'm not going to talk. Yes, you are. Okay. And then next thing you know, it blows up. That's common. That could have happened. Look at us dissecting this possible melee between Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka.
Oh, we'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of it.
Very good. Very good. SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM. Again, Major League Baseball underway. Back in 2007, when I was covering the Rockies on their emergence into the postseason, they coined the phrase Rocktober, and they were trying to get that copyrighted. But I remember thinking, doesn't every rock and roll station in the country use Rocktober?
Probably.
As an identifier? And I don't know if the Rockies were ever successful of getting that, not copyrighted. Maybe it is copyrighted. When you take a phrase, like when Pat Riley did trademark, right? When you trademark three-peat. So they were trying to trademark that, but I don't know if they ever did. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I remember at the time going, I don't think you could trademark that, or some rock station had to have gotten a hold of Rocktober. That was way too common of a phrase for the Rockies to have claimed they just made that up. So they're using it now. They're going head to Milwaukee after beating the Chicago Cubs. Do you think Cubs fans are really...
In 2007, they did actually, the Rockies did trademark Rocktober.
Oh, very good. Good for them. I'm surprised nobody landed that. Surprised no rock station land. Why wasn't Rick D's on top of that, or whatever? Name your rock DJ, popular rock DJ, grabbed a hold of that bad boy for like an October sort of promotion. Good for the Rockies. Good for the Rockies. Oh, coming up next hour, I'm going to tell you a funny little Rocky story about the time they were in the World Series and selling tickets.
Hey, over under, will it snow?
Can Denver snow? Yeah, it could. Absolutely. Absolutely, it can snow. I've been there plenty of Octobers when it snowed.
Because we haven't really had that. We need to, they need to bust out the orange balls and let it snow.
Let it snow, right. Especially if Joe Buck's calling the game. Snow in the Rockies. Oh,
who
would have
thunk it?
Who would have thunk it in October? Coming off those mountains. Well, Milwaukee and Colorado, they begin on Thursday. Tonight, Yankees and A's, SB Nation AM.